You're listening to Missional Church Multiplication Week on the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, we got this theme going on.
We do.
That's Todd Adkins, and
yes,
my name is Daniel M.
What?
And we are almost done our week of Missional Church Multiplication.
Into the home stretch.
Today, we are going to be listening to David Fitch on bivocational ministry. Now, if you don't know David Fitch, you need to look him up because he is a prolific writer. He's a prolific writer, so you gotta. No, I know I said that twice, but which makes me not a prolific speaker.
No, less than prolific.
Yeah, but seriously, he thinks and he's very articulate in his thoughts in regards to the church, the future of the church. So today we're going to be listening to him on bivocational ministry. Tomorrow we're going to be finishing it off with J.R. Woodward on the five myths of the missional church. Now, every day this week we've been giving away a special offer because we wanted to highlight one of our premier courses on newchurches.com. Now, today, if you purchase the course before midnight tonight, then you will get three copies of The Church as Movement, Starting and Sustaining Missional Incarnational Communities by J.R. Woodward and Dan White Jr. So that's not one copy, but three copies we'll send you, actually hot off the press, because the book is just coming out. And this is going to be a great resource for you. You like how I said resource?
I did.
I had to say it.
Hot off the press.
Now, you're going to, three copies to help you and your leadership team process the material, process these ideas, and learn how to better engage your community incarnationally and missionally, and to see the lost come to know Jesus. That's what this course is all about. So be sure to do that. And if you missed the previous episodes, feel free to download episode 89 to 91 to just catch up and get a feel and a taste for this course. All right. Well, without further ado, let's listen to David Fitch on bivocational ministry.
And what I want to talk about here are basically three things, three ideas that I think are important. Now, there's a lot of people talking about bivocational ministry, and so a lot of stuff has been covered that I think is really good. But I think maybe I have three points that I would like you to know about from my own experience. So the first point is that I think that bivocational ministry, the entering into bivocational ministry, requires you to look at money differently. Look at money differently. Look at the way you get a job, what you expect when you start a job. Normally people, when they start a job, they think, oh, I'm going to get paid such and such amount of money, and I'm looking to build a career. But where you start a job might not be where you end in that job. Job advancement will have a whole new logic to it. So, really our focus when we get a job and money is, I need to develop a skill. So a lot of times I'll go in at a very low pay level and I'll work my way through. And it won't be enough money to pay the bills. That's why a lot of us think bivocational ministry requires some amount of additional support in the initial years. But you will focus very hard on learning a skill and becoming very good at that skill, so it becomes portable. And almost like through the grace of God, you become good at it and it enables you to take some control of your schedule. So getting a job should not be perceived as, oh, I'm going to go get a half-time job to supplement my other half-time job, which is ministry, and somehow together I'm going to be a bivocational minister. No, you are looking to get a job that will support you entirely, and yet it's a long-term strategy. So you're learning to get a skill. So like in 3 to 5 years, you will be making enough money to support yourself. There will come a time when some of us get so good at our skill that we start to make a lot of money, and God might say something different. He might say, hey, it's time for you. The church is flourishing. We need more of you at the church. You might have to quit your job or lower the amount of hours in your job. You might have to take a pay cut. The whole logic of a job and a job skill and money changes. So first point, looking at the way you make money changes entirely with bivocationality. Secondly, you will pastor with at least two other pastors, minimum. As a bivocational pastor, you will necessarily have to work with two other pastors. And I believe in this so strongly that I will not allow anyone to start a church or a ministry in bivocational ministry without two other partners in ministry. Each pastor will probably devote approximately 15 hours of their time a week to the organizing and shaping of a congregation. No more than 15 hours a week. Together, think about that. Together, three people working cooperatively is 45 hours a week. So you have the equivalent of like one full-time pastor, but really you have much more than that because you have a multiplicity of gifts in three people versus one person doing all the gifts. And so by doing that, you're going to get to know each other well, the two other pastors at least. Actually, at our church, Peace of Christ, we have five pastors. The fivefold ministry will get to know who's an apostle, who's a prophet, who's an evangelist, who's a pastor, who's a teacher, what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses in each one, and we will make decisions collaboratively, discerning each decision out of the mutuality of those gifts. And this will foster, I believe, a culture of participation. A culture of participation versus a culture of spectatorship. Because now we see how leadership works. It works by the mutual participation of three or more people together, and no one person does it all. And indeed, those pastors then will empower other people in their gifts. I believe that's the way Ephesians chapter 4 works in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then the rest of the gifts. So these gifts, these kind of first gifts and leadership empower the rest of the church. And so do you see how this is working? No longer is the organization of the church moving in to the community and up to the hierarchy. It's pushing leadership down and out. That's the beauty of mutual plural leadership, not just one. And that is what enables, or that's what bivocationality enables. My last point, so I have looking at the way you make money differently is really important in entering bivocational ministry. Two, you will pastor with at least two other pastors. And a lot of times, the biggest battle, by the way, in bivocational ministry is finding those two or three other people to join with in leading a church. By the way, my theory is that you plant three or more pastors mutually committed to one another, and this place in my giftedness, and you cultivate that mutuality of giftedness, there will be a church in 15 years. 15 years is my kind of way to say a long cultivation, but it will happen. And bivocationality enables that kind of long-term sustainability. We're not having to create a church that will pay full-time clergy because we have bivocational ministry. So we can stay at this and cultivate the kingdom year in, year out, and let God work at his pace. Okay, my last point here is bivocationality is not two jobs. It is one life. Bivocationality is not really two jobs. It's one life. Bivocationality, probably the bi word in there is actually probably a misnomer. There is really no bi. The life of the bivocational pastor is one life lived under the Lordship of Christ. And so what happens here is often in current day ministry, we have people compartmentalizing their lives and trying to balance everything and pay proper attention to everything. And so you have a typical bivocational pastor saying, well, I've got my job and I got to do a good job there, but I got my family and I have to pay attention to my family. And then I have my ministry. and I have to pay attention to my ministry. And oh my goodness, I'm spending too much time on my ministry. My family is being neglected. Oh my goodness. And what happens is we are juggling this ball and we are under enormous pressure to keep everything in its right compartment. I can't do that meeting tonight. I've got to be with my family. I can't go to be with my family. I've got to pay attention to my job, and the stress gets enormous. What I want to suggest is no, your family is part of the ministry. I know this is like has become politically incorrect to say, but I believe, like, let's say my son Max and my wife, that's a compartment I got to pay attention to. I have to spend so much time a week with my wife. It actually turns it into a duty, which I'm sure my wife nor my son really appreciate. But what if I see them involved in all we're doing together? Then when my son is out playing in the neighborhood park, or when he's playing on the hockey team, that becomes not only my ministry, I'm doing it out of that becomes not only something I'm doing for my son, but that becomes my ministry, an opportunity and an arena for the engagement of lost people for Christ. When we have dinner on Friday night together with the neighborhood, I don't think this is some program I got to do. This is something that is ministry, but it's also feeding my family and it's building up the church. I want to contend we got to get rid of this compartmentalized thinking and realize that even my work is a ministry. And then if we can do this, we're leading the rest of the church to think the same way about life. All of life is ministry. And so don't you, as you enter ministry, you must be able to rethink, re-understand yourself in the world. To be a pastor means I take this role up as one alongside many others, and yet we all have jobs. Some of us have families, or we're single and we have many relationships. This is all under one Lord, one Christ, one ministry.
Now, what I love about David Fitch's emphasis here is summed up in this quote: bivocationality is not two jobs, it is one life. I mean, that's it. I mean,
yep.
Currently, I'm bivocationally pastoring, but Todd, maybe you can share from your experience, because your dad was a bivocational pastor.
Absolutely. So, you know, I grew up, my dad, some of my earliest memories are of my dad being in the parking lot of a gravel parking lot in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky, of the church that we attended, you know, on Sunday night, him shuffling his feet around in the gravel, talking to the pastor, and then to see my dad go into ministry.
Mm.
And then, you know, he did like voice at Southern Seminary because he didn't have a college degree. But, you know, that was growing up. That's how I grew up. And the crazy thing is then my uncles went into ministry and my cousins went into ministry. And it's crazy. Now, if you look at just the legacy that, you know, all that had, and frankly, he's been bivocational for 30 years and, over 30 years now. And it's been, it's amazing to see the fruit of that from people in our congregation that had come out and also become bivocational pastors or, be called into ministry or, you know, even, to the point of they're there, but they can certainly fill in, whenever he's gone. He's got two or three people when he wants to come down and see the grandkids. He's got two or three people that can easily fill in that are leaders plugged into the church that have been there for a long time that have grown and developed and, are perfectly capable of, pastoral duty in their own right. And honestly, I think it's a great testament, you know, in what he's talking about in the health of the church and, just the health of the ministry. If you look at our churches, the health of the church is in direct proportion to the health of the average attendee.
Yeah, that's good.
And so it's so vitally important that we, you know, really hone in on the development of those people, and recognize and realize that most of our church, everybody in our church is an agent of implementation into the community. We said that before, but we're calling them. we all have a calling. And so we're calling them into the work of the ministry and releasing them. You know, God has put them in that cubicle or in that position at their job for a reason. And they can be, you know, our church with feet on.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, the mission at newchurches.com is to help you multiply your mission, right? And in order to do that, that's why we're devoted to resourcing, to this free podcast, to developing high-end premier courses to really help you where you're at. So what's neat is, I mean, this course is out. We have another one, Essential Church Planting. We're about to release one on guest services. That's going to help you better engage your guests and train up your leaders. And there's a few others that we already have planned down the pike. We're actually going to, in a few months, be releasing a ton of ones on multi-site, right? On, so that's, we won't tell you too much about that, but we're going to be providing some cutting edge stuff because there's really not a lot of resources out there on multi-site ministry, campus pastoring and such. So that's coming down pretty soon. But be sure to purchase Missional Church Multiplication before midnight tonight if you want to receive 3 free copies of The Church as Movement. I mean, that's going to be a great tool.
One for yourself and the 2 pastors that he suggested.
Yes, that's right. And that's really going to be a great resource for you to train up your leadership team and walk through that together. But be sure, if you have not yet subscribed, be sure to subscribe because tomorrow we are going to be releasing the last episode of Missional Church Multiplication Week, where J.R. Woodward is going to come on, and it's going to, we're actually going to be providing a fantastic deal. Okay, it's going to be amazing. So be sure to download that episode, grab the coupon code, and listen in tomorrow as well. We'll catch you next time.